Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, November 15th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 59. We're going to read steps 3 and step 4. So we're going to start with made a decision and moral inventory of ourselves, and we're going to read and comment on step 3 and 4 this morning. Today's readers are Diane B. reading the text, Penny L.C. will be reading page 164, and Dion R. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, November 14th, 2024 is 21,916, or 21916, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,918, or 21918. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. My name is Terry G. I'm a food addict from Pensacola, Florida. And the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove all of our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. And I'm going to now ask Barbara W. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hello, I'm Barbara W., and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater, and I'm glad to be here today. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number 2. Our group purpose, there is but one ultimate, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern us. Number 3, the only requirement of OA membership for us is the desire to stop compulsively overeating. Number 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still are suffering. Six, an OA group ought to never endorse or finance or lend our name to any related fallacy or outside intercourse. These problems of money, property, divert us from our own primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supported, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no outside opinion on outside issues. Helps the name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relating policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is our spiritually foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personality. I am so grateful. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Share, press star one to unmute. And someone is not muted. Everyone can hit star one right now, please. A lot of background noise. Thank you. So to share, press star one to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star one to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 59, and we're going to read step three and step four. So we're going to begin with step three, made a decision, ending with moral inventory of ourselves. And we're going to read and comment on steps three and four this morning. And I will now ask Diane B. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. So step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I'm Diane B., gratefully recovered here in New York. So, you know, step three directly follows step two, which says that we come to believe in a power. And then step three, we make the decision to turn our will and our lives over to that power. But making a decision doesn't really get us very far. It's just something that we do in our head. So we launch into the action steps, starting with step four, making a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And we launch into that immediately. As soon as we do step three, then we start working on our fourth step. Now, when I came into the rooms, I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in a higher power. But I have come to believe, and I have, I look for evidence of things. And that has really helped me. That really helped me with step three, so that every day I'm turning my will and my life over because, you know, I'm human, so I take my will back all the time. I'm one of the people who has an alarm set on her phone every 2 hours to remind me to turn my will and my life over. Because otherwise I want to run the show and I can't. I cannot play God and I can't run the world, even though I want to sometimes. So step four, then, I make an searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. And this is an inventory. This is a fact-finding task that we're doing. I had a job in a department store one time where we took inventory, and we would find that we had, you know, 3 red shirts and we had 8 blue shirts, which just told the store that not to order so many blue next time because people weren't buying that. And it's not a reason to say, oh my gosh, you did such a horrible job. That's not what this is about. The fourth step is not an exercise in beating myself up. It's an exercise to find out, what have I done in my life? Where am I angry? Where am I resentful? Where am I fearful? How have I treated the other people in my life? And then to be able to move forward, to uncover my character defects, and then to move forward. So it's not about saying, oh, you stupid idiot, you did this, you did that. You know, nobody can speak worse to me than I can speak to myself. And these are things that I used to say to myself. But today I know that I'm just looking, okay, what happened in this situation? And where are my character defects? Where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or fearful? And fear always comes up under my, when I do these inventories, whether it's step 4 or whether it's step 10, I always come back to fear. So this is just like, this is how we get going. So step 3, we're ending the section of the first 3 steps where we're coming to conclusions. We're still in our head. We're saying, okay, I can do this. Maybe I can't. Maybe I can try this. I can practice this. And then step 4 through 9 are the action steps. And that's where we really have to do the work. So we're finishing up making conclusions, and we're getting started into doing the action of cleaning up our lives, so that we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. So yeah, I think with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you for the opportunity to do service.
Well, perfect timing, Diane B. Thank you so much for getting us started. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every 3rd day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on any vision meeting on Wednesday or Thursday, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. And we really ask that you please stick to the topic that we, or the passage that we read this morning. I'll also remind you when your time is up, please finish up promptly so that we can get as many people the chance to share today as possible. So I'm going to get the first line up. If you could please
I'm Barbara W. Barbara W. New Jersey.
So if I got you, Barbara, but just one moment, please. If you could please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. And I've got Barbara W.
Kara L.
Morning, Kara.
Long Beach. Morning.
Shay D., California.
Was that Shay?
Yes.
Shay D. from California. Okay.
Thank you.
Wendy M., Boulder, Colorado.
I got you, Wendy. Do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this lineup? All right. I've got Barbara W., Kara L.,
Georgia.
I'm sorry?
I was muting things. It was Dion R. I thought it was unmuted. Oh. Sorry, but I can go on the next go around.
I got you, Dion. You're good. So I'll put you at the end of the list. So Barbara W., okay. Kara L., Shay D., Wendy M., Dion R. We're going to go ahead and start with Barbara W., followed by Kara L. And good morning, Barbara. Go for it.
Good morning. I'm Barbara W. from New Jersey. I'm grateful that I am a compulsive overeater. I'm coming up for 2 years in December in the program and registered online. And I'm so happy to be a part of this group and from all over, South Carolina, wherever we are. I'm just happy to come on. But, you know, I had a problem with my with wrestling with God and wanted to give up my way of eating. And I thank God that he's helping me with the steps to admit I'm powerless over food, and I'm turning it over to God, and he's helping me in my food, in my whole life now. I have a book. I take notes. I journal. I write things down about what God is saying to me, and it's helping me get through the day. I pray, and God is helping me with this program that I can be able to help other people. He's helping me in the foods I need to be eating. He's helping me in my attitude, and he's helping me in my character defects. It's not all gone yet. They come up during the day, but I just heard somebody saying about a clock. They do. And I do things that way. I have a clock set for a certain time that I do certain things, and I try to avoid confusion by turning off my phone so that I can do what I have to do. Then I turn it back on to take care of myself. Because if I don't do that, then I'm not going to be good for anybody else. And that's good that I learned that in the program. I learned that I had more inventory to do. My ways and my anger and my fears. I still deal with fear a lot. Fear is not all gone, but I keep reminding me, the program keeps reminding me and my sponsor what I have to do with fear. And when I talk to her about it, I still get fear about certain things that shake me up at my age, because I'm 69 now, and I'll be 70 in January, and I'm still trying to fight fear, but it's not easy. That's a big one when we age for some reason. But I'm just thankful that I'm able to work the program and love all the people in the program and continue to admit to God my defects. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara W. from New Jersey. Next, we've got Kara L. followed by Shay D. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Kara L. from Long Beach, California. I'm in Liberty, Missouri this morning. Thanks for our opening share. Amazing. Love it. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And I was just thinking three and four. Okay. Three is just made the decision. Okay. I'm going to make this decision. I'm probably going to have to make this decision every single morning, actually several times throughout the day. So several times out the day, stopping and saying, all right, higher power, I invite you in. I invite you in. Because several times throughout the day, I forget that I made a decision. I'm like, oh, that's right. I think I'm in charge. I'm not in charge. I made this decision to say there's something greater than myself. I'm going to trust that. And please help me, because I don't really know what I'm doing. So several times throughout the day, I got to do step three and say, please help me. I trust your judgment. And when I do that, things seem to go better. You know, I have a habit of when I pass a doorway, I try to remember, oh, that's right, I'm going into a new room. God, I invite you in. You know, I don't do that all the time. I just try to remember, God, I invite you in. Every time I pass through a doorway, whatever the situation is I'm going to, I invite you in. Step four for me, I can do a lot of step fours. So I don't have to do it perfect the first time. I don't have to find everything. I don't have to peel all the onion layers. I just got to get out what my higher power is putting in my brain that is blocking me. I'm just, you know, just getting it out on paper. I'm going to tell someone else. I'm going to tell my higher power. I'm going to feel the love. That's step five. We'll wait for that. But I just get it out. Get it on paper. All those things that I'll tell you, I wake up or sometimes in the day and a memory will come of something I've done or something that somebody's done to me that I feel like, and it will drag me down. And so when I do the step four, I get to release those. I get to say, okay, let's just put this on paper and let's just get rid of that. I don't have to relive those memories anymore. I don't have to relive those things that I'm shameful or embarrassed about or angry or upset or fearful about. I get to get them on paper and then I get help. You know, it's such a glorious gift. It has lightened my soul so much. And just do it. Doesn't have to be perfect. Just get it down. You know, and as soon as I took the perfectionism out of it, I got the gift of it. And I'm so happy that I was able, you know, that I'm able to do that. And that this program gives me the opportunity every day to say, I don't know, God, and I'm willing to do things to get closer to you. And with that, I pass.
Oh, perfect. Perfect timing. Like to the second, Kara. Kara L. in California. Thank you so much. Next up, Shay B. followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning. This is Shay D. I'm grateful for recovery in California. Thank you, moderator, for your service and to everyone for the shares and everyone on the line helping me to be recovered today. step three was actually really pivotal for me. I started listening to Vision, maybe it's been over 2 years now, and it was like a window opening or a curtain lifting to understand the disease through the readings in the big book. I had never heard that before, and still it took 2 years for me to truly admit my powerlessness and to really accept the gift of abstinence, the gift of God acceptance, of self-acceptance, and even of accepting others. And I was working with my sponsor at the time, and when I got to step three, I remember like just sitting there and, you know, the whole piece about making a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. And I asked, like, God, do you really care, like, what I put in my mouth? Like, are you really concerned about that? And it just struck me that if I truly believe in a God who loves me unconditionally, then of course God cares about what I put in my mouth. Like a loving parent who, as a parent, a loving parent, we care about every aspect of our children's lives. Like, where are they going? What are they doing? Who are they hanging out with? And yes, what are they eating? Are they taking care of themselves? And it was just such a revelation to me that God cares about what I eat. God cares about me and wants me to take care of myself. I am His creation, and I'm learning daily to turn my life over to Him continually in all areas. And for that, I am just so very, very grateful. And in step four, I'm learning to be honest, like in all areas of my life. It's a new, it sounds so cliche, but for me, it really has become a new way of living, and I'm so, so grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Shady from California. Next up, we've got Wendy M., followed by Dion R. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Always, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So happy to be on the line. I mean, it's just a miracle we're all here, right? Like, think about where I was before this. So thank you, God. So step, first of all, the steps just get me freedom, right? Right. This is, they say, the death of self, this book. And so I get to release self, and that gives me freedom from the bondage of self every time. That's what the steps are doing. So I heard this morning, that step three, so it's either Wendy's will or God's will, right? So step three is that my will is aligned with God's will, that my actions, behaviors, motives are aligned with God's. Like, that's the whole thing, right? And that we are an agent of God, and I am here on God's assignment. And they say that the defects of character can block our assignment, right? So we do the steps to get released from our defects of character. And here's how I know that this works. If I am doing something and I'm not up to no good, like, God makes it possible that I'm itchy and scratchy. God makes it, like, it doesn't have to be some big, you know, thesis. Like, I know when I'm up to no good, right? Because I've worked the steps quite a bit. And then I get course corrected. I get back to what is God's will here? What are the actions God wants me to take? And then in terms of the fourth step, this is so hilarious. 25 years ago, I did my first fourth step in Los Angeles. And the funniest thing about it was somebody said, well, what are your resentments? And I was like, this is a party. Oh, this feels good. Like, finally, I can get all my resentments out, you know, boy, do I have them, and boy, do I want to tell you about them. I thought resentments were delicious, frankly. But then they said there's a column 3, 4, and 5, you know, and that the first two columns are none of my business. And when we do the first two columns, you know, who did it and what they do to me, God just erases it, like with an eraser. And what really matters is, you know, columns 4 and 5. And, you know, which is just my part. And when we get to our part, we get freedom beyond belief. That's what I want to say. That step four is like, hallelujah, it's a party. Because once you name, once I name my selfishness, my dishonesty, my fear, my self-seeking, I get freedom instantly, right? Because I'm freed up of those character defects. And as other people have said, you know, my fourth step all looks the same. It's 40 people, but it's that one resentment, really. And so it just affords us the kind of freedom that gets us closer to God and gets me useful, because that's really what we're doing here. Steps three and four, all the steps. How can I thank you so much? And with that, I pass.
Thank you. Wendy M. from Colorado. Next, we've got Dion R. Good morning, Dion. Dion, can you hit star one to unmute, please?
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you, everyone, and thank you, God, for a new phone that I'm learning to work. Thank you all for reminding me of step three. That's where we're on, step three and step four. And thank you all for your beautiful share of the Open Mind way of receiving a new insight. And what I got was so many gems you guys shared from the beginning to the end. And one of the ones that stood out to me, first of all, setting a timer to get out of self-will. And, oh, it's God's will. It's not mine. Whatever it is, it's like, God, what can I learn from this situation versus from my brain sense, right? My brain says that I'm supposed to do that. No, when I go into the center, like someone reminded me in one of my beautiful meetings, is that's where he's at. He's right there in the center. Stick with the center. That's where God is inside of me. And there was a time he wasn't, and I knew he wasn't. But when he wasn't, I go to the meetings or whoever I could plug in to get to that center so I could be willing to do his will. And I love that. And also to clean my stuff, you know, and a fourth step is a deeper inventory than a tenth one. To me, it's like I really got to get with this one. And I also love the idea of, if it hasn't been peeled yet, okay, I'm going with this, what I got today. I used to think when I came into the program, let me get to that core. They feel like peeling up. I want to get to the nitty gritty. Why? Right? Why did I do that? Why did they do that? Why? When I'm white girl. And today, just being able to deal with what I got today. That's enough. If God, my higher power, through me working the steps, being plugged into the program, allow me to uncover and unveil some layers. I'll work with that. That's okay. It is okay for the day. I don't have to get to the center. Because when I do the fourth step, when I move on to the fourth step, it's just revealing a new part of me where I was stuck. Right? A new part of me that was stuck inside, buried inside, or developed by habit. So being able to get in that core, so, And then when I turn it around, I'm like, we ain't got to do it yet. But the fourth, yes, you do on the fourth. I get to look at where was I self? Where was I self-centered? Where was I dishonest? Where, you know, fear. I get to do these. My higher power allows me to hear it if I'm open. And I also to say, I don't pass out that it's God. You know, you do so much. I mean, you want me to stop? Can you stop me from eating like this or that? Because you didn't stop A, B, C, D, right? But they said, just one step at a time and just keep coming with an open, honest mind. And I was open enough to see that everything bad happened to me, for me, was not my HP. That wasn't on HP. It wasn't on me, especially as a kid, was a victim or whatever. You could be a victim as a adult, but I don't have to stay in it. Today, he gave me a way to shed that stuff off, and I'm grateful he done it through the four steps and all the other steps. So thank you for allowing me to share and be service. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
And Dion, where are you from? Where are you calling from? Dion, are you still? Did you
Stephanie, I am from Georgia. I'm so sorry.
Georgia.
I have muted real quick before. Yeah, from GA.
No worries.
Ma'am, thank you.
No worries. Exactly. Thank you so much. And before we get another lineup, let me remind you all where we're at. We're on page 59. We read step 3 and step 4. So we started with made a decision to turn our will, ending with fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And if you'd like to share, please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Mary Ellen T.
Vicky T.
Ellen C.
Lilia C. from Colorado.
I'm sorry, what was that? What was your name again?
Lilia C. from Colorado.
Lilia C. from Colorado. Okay, gotcha.
Vicky T. in Florida.
Got you.
Linda G. from Alabama.
Gotcha, Linda G.
Stephanie F., Washington.
And that was an S as in Sam or an
yes.
S as in Frank?
S as in Sam.
I don't know why I have such a hard time with S as in F's. let's see. We can probably take another one. Anyone else want to get in on this lineup?
McCall, F.
McCall, and McCall, what's your last initial?
S is in Sam.
Sherry F.
And McCall, where are you calling from?
Massachusetts.
Gotcha. And Sherry, we'll try to fit you in there, but that was an F is in Frank?
Correct.
And where are you from?
From Idaho.
Idaho. Okay, we'll see how time works. So I've got Mary Ellen T., Lilia C., Vicky T., Linda G., Stephanie S., McCall S., and Sherry F. And we'll go ahead and start with Mary Ellen T., followed by Lilia C. And Mary Ellen, I didn't get where you're calling from, so please let us know.
Yeah, you bet. Good morning. I'm from Oregon. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful to be abstinent today and to be on a meeting, and I'm so grateful that God has led me into this way of life because it is what makes my life so rich and so meaningful, and the connection that I'm able to develop with my higher power because of all the powerful shares that I hear from you all, and that I've learned how to practice this way of living and how to practice having a faith and a reliance. And one of the things I wanted to share that's been such a helpful tool for me that I heard from another fellow about step 3 is made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood God. And, you know, a fellow shared that, you know, that's a decision that I can make one time. And that means that I'm going to be working, you know, working through the steps. And then, you know, but we can also continue to make that decision on a daily basis. And when I make it on a daily basis, you know, that it helps me to move my thinking over into, you know, what God's will is for me. And sometimes the situation in my life sucks. And, you know, right now it's kind of like that. I have a lot of disturbances about the election and a lot of fears that my brain wants to turn towards. And you know, struggling that, you know, some of my adult children voted differently for me. And so my brain wants to put a wedge and a separation between myself and the world and between myself and my family. And, you know, I don't think that's what God would have for me. But, you know, I don't get to change the circumstances. And so what, you know, I heard a fellow share was, you know, sometimes that's just the way life is. It's just the circumstances of our life. And she said, I hate this plan, but I trust you, God. And it was exactly what I needed to hear 3 years ago when I was going through a difficult time. And it's exactly what I need to hear now in my day-to-day life. And when my thinking goes into that stinking thinking side, and I want to make myself, different and separate from, and, you know, that's my self-reliance. And that's always going to be a behavior that I struggle with is it's my default operating system. I am, always working towards being in God reliance. And sometimes it flows real smoothly and easily, but when life's not going my way, it's not. And so I write it down, I put it in my pocket. You know, I hate this plan, but I trust you, God. And every time I touch that piece of paper in my pocket, I'm just reminded about the course direction that my higher power wants me to take, which is trust and reliance. And I'm going to pass it back. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. And I just want to remind everyone that we do not bring into the meeting outside issues. Politics would be an outside issue. And if we could refrain from that and just stay on topic, that would be awesome. So next up, I've got Lilia C., followed by Vicky T. Good morning, Lilia.
Hi, I'm Lilia C., compulsive overeater from Colorado. It's so interesting because I did my fourth step this morning, and I had so many fears from this past season. And I just, it all just goes back to, I feel relieved this morning to have finally gotten them out. And I just realized, like, this is why I relapsed, because I had so many fears. I had an hour of stuff, and I've been in these rooms, and I do a 10th step every day, but I still had a ton of fears and a ton of resentments and, you know, a couple of hurts. And it really does. It just brings so much freedom afterwards. After, you know, this morning, just reflecting on it all goes back to accepting life on life's terms. And the only way I can accept life on life's terms is to have, you know, give that to God. Ask God what I can do about it. Most often it is just to pray. And I think very often we think that just prayer, but that's ultimately where I end up. God wants me to be a good employee. God wants me to be a good American. God wants me to be a good, you know, all of these things. And it just comes down to acceptance for me. So this morning I feel ultimately free and so ready to just continue with my recovery. And I'm so thankful for this program, because one of the fears I had on there was my own mental health. Well, what helps me with my own mental health is this program. And so I am extremely thankful to have done my fourth step this morning. And I'm ready to just keep on going. So thankful to God. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lilia C. from Colorado. Next, we've got Vicky T., followed by Linda G. Good morning, Vicky.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody. This is Vicky T., recovered in Florida, and very grateful to be here. I had a cool experience with step three. Somebody else shared this, and so I'll just pass it on. She used, and somebody else mentioned a door today, which was really cool. Basically, the process, if you guys know the spiritual arc that we talk about in our book, and I used a door as the arc. So the bottom was the foundation, the cornerstone, or the sides of the door, the keystone, or the top of the door. Got on my knees in the front of the door. I said the third step prayer. I opened the door, and I walked through the door, and I had a spiritual experience because I was walking through, getting ready for 4 through 9. And I have a lake in my backyard. And I've been living in my house since 2012. I never saw the lake the way that I saw the lake that day. And something made me turn my head. And I just had this amazing experience. So if anybody needs a deeper experience with step three, I highly recommend the door. It's really cool. The other thing, in our history, in the AA program, in our OA program, how there's these series of events that happened that made the program to be, where Roland Hazard was not able to get to Freud or Adler, and Dr. Jung knew about the spiritual experience. I've had those series of events happen to me recently, and I feel like it's a huge step three experience and opportunity. An event happened, and I realized it did go my way, but I realized if it hadn't, I wasn't going to be okay. And I thought, you know what? I do have a great relationship with God. I have had a spiritual awakening. I do have a neutrality with the food. But you know what? I don't have neutrality with my emotions. Now, I know that I'm never going to have 100% neutrality, but I want to go deeper. And a series of events has happened, and I don't have time to go into all of them, but I'm going to embark on a journey of emotional sobriety and rework the steps in order to get a deeper connection with that. And these series of events, I felt like were a really nice step three experience for me. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass with that.
Well, thank you so much. Vicki T from Florida, and by the way, perfect timing. Thank you. Next up, we've got Linda G, followed by Stephanie S. Linda, good morning.
Hi, this is Linda G, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic and restrictor. I came screaming into the program for God. I was on a four-day binge that terrified me, and I had been in program 38 years ago and gone into a 38-year relapse, and I never thought that I was out of control. It never occurred to me that I was shutting everybody out of my life so I could protect myself. When I turned my will and my life over to the care of God, it was just as much for the abstinence and sanity as it was for the ability to let people in and get over my fear of that. I had had a horrible experience many years ago, and in doing my fourth step, I got to see what my part was in it. And up until I did my fourth step, I didn't think I had a part in it. I thought I was a victim, and I definitely played a role. And I got to stay humble, because when God inspires me, I can't take the credit. And sometimes I do, and I have to pray daily for the ability to hear God's will for me and the strength to carry it out. And I get it when I ask for it. I do. He never turns me down. And I just have a wonderful relationship with my higher power that I never would have had without program. And I am very grateful for that. I take it one day at a time, one step at a time, and that's how I stay abstinent and sober, sober from the food, mind you. And I'm just very grateful. I'm very grateful that higher power is within me and guiding me and teaching me, and that I'm able to see that for the first time in my life. And when I do the moral inventory, it shows me what I need to know. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Linda G. from Alabama. Next, we've got Stephanie S., followed by McCall S. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. This is Stephanie S., recovering compulsive overeater in Washington State. I'm focusing on four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I did not understand the word inventory until I came in these rooms, gosh, a year and a half ago. And I got a degree in business, okay? My husband owns a small electrical contracting company. We had this trailer in the back of the yard that had all of these, it's our inventory. So it's all of these little parts and pieces and leftover things that that just get piled up. For the first time in the big book, I'm realizing this is what step four is. And I think of it as what at home here, I've got a ton of holiday Christmas decorations, and I have to periodically go through them and declutter. And so I call this my decluttering step, where I need to go into that box, pull out what seems very confusing to me, and to deal with it. And I think fear causes confusion, and it also when I'm in a fearful state, I feel like I can't figure things out very well. You know, my executive brain kind of goes in the back. Well, anyway, I was working my step four a year ago, and I just was struggling with this box. I'm going to say it's a box of feelings, of icky feelings about certain people, my daughter, and people that influenced my daughter and her beliefs and all this stuff. Anyway, it was scary to open that box, and it was scary for me, and it still is sometimes, to make phone calls. But I did do it, and it was so interesting how God met me when I fearlessly trusted Him to open the box and say, these are some things that really scare me. And then I was able to ask my outreach partner, how do I do this? And she's like, oh my gosh, I can totally relate to you. This is my field of expertise. It was like I opened up a box of, you know, crazy looking little widgets. And she's like, oh yeah, I'm an electrician. This is the widget you use for this. And I'm like, wow, thank you for helping me sort this out. Because we got to sort out and declutter the stuff that's in our way so we can have the power from our higher power to manage life. So anyway, I'm thankful that we have these steps, and that step four has been such a help for me over the years and this year and a half that I've been here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Stephanie S. from Washington. Next, we've got McCall S., and we've only got about 2 minutes. So Sherry F., I'm so sorry we're not going to get to you today. And McCall, if you can keep it to 2 minutes, that would be awesome. McCall, you're up. Nicole, can you hit star one to unmute?
Yes. Hi, good morning. I'm Nicole.
Thank you.
A compulsive overeater. And thankfully living in recovery today. Thanks to this program. And now I'm setting my timer for 1:30. just really glad to be here today and hear everybody. Great shares, and to be in the steps. You know, I was listening yesterday, and I was thinking about this morning about how the steps build on each other. And I was thinking about, you know, for me, step one, you know, admitting I was powerless over compulsive overeating, and then accepting this about myself. And, you know, it was pretty clear how my life had become unmanageable. And then coming to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I mean, really, OA, and just the comfort that I was getting from coming to meetings, especially meetings that were focusing on the big book. For some reason, that's just been my great way for me to recover. And then, you know, today, making the decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as we understood Him. For me, sometimes as I understand them, it's just coming back to the meeting and the program, you know, and for me, the program is the steps. It's the solution. Otherwise, I'm right back into me being the solution. And then I just love all the shares about the fourth step. You know, that for me, I really wanted to just eat. And then people were like, other people in recovery were like, just keep going with the step four. It's just going to keep getting different and better. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, McCall S. from Massachusetts. Well, we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Dion, actually, it's not Dion, huh? We have read that today. We have Penny LC. Sorry, Penny. Penny LC, please read a vision for you.
Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. This is Penny LC, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.